Welcome to At Home with Kelly and Tiffany, where naturally minded women gather together as we pursue simplicity and confidence in health alternatives so we can show up better in our busy lives and feel more at home in our bodies. Join your favorite home birth midwife duo for conversation, candor, and community.
Welcome to At Home with Kelly and Tiffany.
I'm upset. You just stole it so quickly and I wanted to introduce it again, but I was technically going to steal it from you, I suppose. I don't know. I'm confused now.
Okay, when I told you last episode, Kelly, that I was going to let you have some of them, I meant some. I didn't mean from now on you can introduce the podcast every episode. It wasn't stealing. We're sharing now.
I don't know how I feel about sharing it. I just really enjoyed the power of, I'm a little power hungry now.
Okay, well, you can do it next time.
Okay, thanks.
Holy cow. I'm really working on my humility, as you know, but I'm going to draw the line somewhere.
We have found where the line is. It's right here.
This is episode 148. Ooh. That's just satisfying to say.
It is.
148.
I was thinking about, just side note real quick, how much our podcast has grown, like grown up over the years. Cause I was looking for something in my Google photos and I typed in podcast and it brought me back to the beginning of our podcast and our graphics, I think we thought were great. And you know, we've really just grown so much from there. We've renamed it and rebranded so many times. And I feel like we're there now.
We'll see. I don't know.
Who knows?
Well, when we were on our break a couple months ago, I was thinking, should we rebrand? I don't know. We just tend to do that sometimes, and maybe we should.
Keep people on their toes.
I feel really good. I feel really good about this, the current brand, and
yes,
here we are doing it.
Great.
But this is a really special episode because a part of what we have planned for this upcoming season is sharing more birth stories. And you guys have heard us before share our perspective of stories that births that have happened where we've been the midwife, and we share from the midwife's perspective, and almost all birth stories out there are from the mom's perspective, and it's so beautiful and valid, and the mom's perspective is the most important perspective, right? But it's cool to share from our perspective because we get to witness something different, and I'm excited to share that on the podcast with some of these birth stories. Because I think that it matters. I think it's really cool to give people a peek of, number one, what midwives do.
Or don't do, right?
Yeah. But how, I mean, most of these stories are going to be births that happened at home. And there's such an incredibly small amount of women who are choosing home birth that it just is a giant mystery of how that even happens or what goes on there. And we reference home birth a lot in the content that we create, but anytime we have an opportunity to really show women what it could be like or what it is like is a win for home birth. So that's something that we're going to be doing around here a little bit more often.
Yeah, I'm excited. We share them on Instagram weekly, and what I have found so fascinating is that women, I mean, they love reading from our perspective these stories. But it's not just about, oh, that feels good, or, oh, that's really cool. There's pieces of education that come with it that you just wouldn't get from even just a photo, or even potentially, not quotes just, right, a mom sharing a story. There's something that we're sharing in that way where there's a clinical perspective there that helps educate on all different types of birth topics, so.
Yeah, and so we're excited to share from that perspective and just bring some normalcy to mm-hmm. it, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we bring normalcy to every topic we bring on the show.
We're really normal.
Extremely. Really normal, average.
Yep.
Okay, but we are going to share a review before we jump in because our listeners have been faithful and generous while we took our break. You guys kept the reviews pouring in, and now we have a little treasure trove of encouragement. That's the real reason we decided to bring the podcast back, because you affirmed us with your words, and it really matters.
Apparently, it actually does. The little five-star, gold five stars matters.
It fuels.
Yes.
It fuels me. Okay, so this is a review. It's a five-star review. It's called Golden Information.
Gold. Gold stars. Gold information, super normal.
And it's by Manda 4. And Manda Manda says, thank you for doing this podcast. I love all the information that you give. You guys make it easy to understand, and the information is as valuable as gold! Exclamation mark. It's helpful for me, even though I can't have a home birth for medical reasons.
That's so great.
That is the testimonial of...
I'm interested to know if it's as valuable as gold, including inflation and all those things, right? Economic things to consider. I'm going to say, yeah.
Gold really holds its value.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
great.
That's us.
Super normal, really valuable.
holding the value.
Thank you, Manda. Manda 4. What does Manda 4 get for reading her review?
Oh, yeah. So if you write a 5-star review.
Not a 4-star.
Nope. But we did actually read a 4-star review once.
Because she really meant it to be a 5-star review.
She absolutely meant it to be 5 stars.
She clicked the wrong button.
We are trusting that she's going to resolve that as quickly as possible. Even though we already asked her to and she hasn't yet.
Soon as possible.
But we will buy you a drink. If you reach out, email us, send us a message on Instagram, say you read my review, we will buy you a drink.
Yeah, Manda 4.
It is our joy to reward you.
Yeah, it is.
For this sweet sacrifice of time and intellect that you shared in getting a review up for us. I just love that someone is willing to say that what we do here impacts them.
Yeah, because, I mean, we kind of said it jokingly, oh, that brought us back, ha ha ha, but in a very humble way, it actually does bring us back. The fact that this information lands with anybody in a positive, empowering, encouraging way, great, I'll just keep coming back recording more episodes.
It will be the only thing that tells our hearts to return to the recording studio.
Exactly.
All right, and something else that I want to share with everybody today is a wonderful wellness brand called Earthly. And it's gaining more and more popularity. So I have a feeling that there's a lot of women who are listening today who have dabbled in Earthly or at least have heard of it. It's a health product company that has completely clean and natural ingredients and a totally extensive line of holistic remedies. It is fast becoming my go-to place to go grab things because there is not a thing on that website that I would not recommend to any woman. They have an amazing profile of ingredients, and it's really simple, wonderful stuff that honestly, it's so simple. These are things that you could make at home, but we don't. We don't actually take the time to make all of our remedies from home. We're going to let Earthly do it for us. And they have skincare, tinctures, natural first aid. They have tons of herbal blends. They have cleaning products. They have body and baby care. And it's just something that I want to make women aware of who are listening because I know we're always looking for ways to get our hands on natural products that work. It's a company that has just like great values and morals that you can stand behind. It's a mom who, you know, runs it basically from her homeschool, homesteading, you know, life. And so that is very inspirational. But it's the quality, too, that they bring to the marketplace. And it's just not easy to find an entire brand that you can say, oh, yeah, hands down, I recommend everything on there.
Yeah, for sure. We started using the sleep, the magnesium lotion, and I've been using the lymphatic cream as well with like dry brushing and lymphatic massage and stuff. And I 100% notice a difference.
Yeah, my favorite things that they have, I mean, I love everything that they have, but my favorite things that I'm not even willing to try to figure out how to make myself, which is why I love buying it from somebody else, are the creams. So you mentioned the magnesium and the lymphatic cream, but they also make a vitamin D cream. And so if you are working on your vitamin D levels, you can actually increase absorption of vitamin D through your skin like 5 times faster than if you go through oral or, you know, your gastrointestinal route. And so that's exciting just to be able to supplement from a more holistic perspective and that they've got products that do that. But we want you guys to check them out too. And they were so generous to give us a 10% code to share with our followers. And so if you go to their website, we'll link that in the show notes. I think it's just like earthly.com or something. But if you use the code BEAUTIFUL1, when you check out, you can get 10% off your entire order. And that goes a long way.
Yeah, it absolutely does. So hopefully if you haven't heard of them before, definitely at least go check them out because we have been super satisfied ourselves with, as we mentioned, using their stuff.
Yep. Okay, so now let's unpack this birth a little bit. And since this is the first time that we've done something like this, I guess I'll just share a little bit of my process in creating the notes for this episode, right? Because we were trying to figure out, what births do we share? How do we go about it? And I'm like, you know what? Let's just start from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Let's start from the very beginning and we'll just systematically go through births as we, you know, find time for these kinds of episodes. Because it's gonna be a fun trajectory to see mm-hmm. our perspective from where we started to where we are now. And so this birth in particular, I went and I looked up her chart and I made some notes on, you know, what we charted at her birth. And then, of course, that made me remember and have my own memories. And then I know we took pictures at her birth, so then I'm automatically remembering the pictures from that birth, and it's all coming together for me in such a fun way.
Yeah, it's funny because it happened around this time of year that recently my phone was like, remember this, you know, it'll pop up with memories. And I had shared something a day or two later on social media just about my own process as a mom, because I had a baby at the time, and that was like leaving the baby for really the first time. And so It was actually very sweet to be like, wow, what if we've come so far?
I know. It's so cool. So this was the very first official Beautiful One Midwifery birth that we did. It was back in 2019. I'd had my license for, I don't know, like a month or something.
Yeah, because it was at the end of 2018 that you officially, yeah.
Yeah, so, yep. And Kelly had gotten her license a year before, but then had a baby. And we were just dreaming up our practice during this whole entire time. And then somebody reached out and came to you, mm-hmm. this particular mom, who you had been at her previous birth. So,
and what's great about that is I really appreciated the feedback because I loved this family. It was like very sweet to support them. But she had a little bit of, I don't want to say necessarily a complication, but something was starting to go slightly sideways as that baby was about to be born. And her feedback for me was why she came to us was like, everybody else was freaking out and you just looked at me and were like, you're just going to breathe. Here's what we're going to do. And that just felt so encouraging to me, just having come off of being a student, to be like, thank you. I feel seen. And like my role there was appreciated. And that just feels good.
Oh, yeah. Because the whole time that you're a midwifery student, basically all the feedback that you get, not all of it, I'm sorry, 90% of the feedback you get is all the things that you didn't do correctly or inadequately or how you fall short of the beautiful pedestal that your preceptor is on. And so anytime anyone says that you did something great, you're like, I knew I had it in me. I knew there was something good I was doing here.
This one thing, it was great.
But so it was really cool because Kelly was like, I know we're like not officially started, but this is an opportunity. We should just do it, right? And I was like, okay, let's just do it. And so we did. This family was so happy and had like really no qualms about two brand new midwives mm-hmm. taking care of them. They were pretty easygoing about the whole thing. So this was her third baby and it was her first home birth because she had her first baby in the hospital mm-hmm. and her second baby was in the midwifery practice you were learning in, but it was at the birth center.
Yeah. So she sort of was like walking the stairs down each time. Right. And had positive experiences in the other two places, but just decided she wanted to do something different this next go round.
Yeah. And leading up to this birth, I think you had done a lot of her prenatal care. Mm-hmm. Well, because I wasn't even licensed yet for part of it. Right. And we were just like, yeah, it'll probably come together.
I'm sure at some point this will all make sense. But yeah, I just did appointments at her house.
Uh-huh. And so then I joined for, you know, the last month of pregnancy or so. And, you know, they had never done a home birth before, so they were a little bit nervous about that. And we were like, oh, we're not nervous about that. We're just nervous about doing things correctly at your birth.
And it had been a little bit since I had been to a birth. I hadn't been to a birth since my own third birth at this point.
Yep.
I think. Nope, and so, yeah, so, you know, there was just that piece of you remember, but also this is the first time where you're going in and you're like, oh, this isn't somebody else's license, or this isn't, I'm not, I don't have to take the, I'm not taking the cues from somebody else in certain situations. This really is up to us.
Yep. We're in charge now.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a big feeling. It was exciting, but I remember getting called and being like, okay.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Now I got to do it. Right. It's probably fine.
It's probably fine.
And it was. It was beautiful. It was like a huge encouragement to us. So, and then this family ended up having their fourth baby with us.
Another home birth. It was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
So eventually we'll get to that story, I'm sure. Okay. So let's unpack this one. This was awesome. So this is about 8 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was nursing my baby and I was like, praises that I can nurse her and put her to sleep and leave. That was such a mercy, that timing, because she was not interested in being with anybody else but me at the time.
I don't think she still is.
Yeah, it's true.
I think we're still happy when we have births at night. When everyone's sleeping. So she had about 3 hours of early labor where she was just kind of like, is this it? Is it not? I don't know. And she gave us a heads up. And then pretty quickly after that, asked us to come. And we both arrived around the same time. I think you got there a little bit earlier than I did for whatever reason. And her own kids were already put to bed, her older two. And they had a tiny, tiny house. Mm-hmm. And there was just enough room in the living room for their birth tub. And so I remember arriving there and her doula was there, who was a best friend of hers, mm-hmm. who had come to all her births so far. And her husband was there, who was just kind of like, wasn't there some kind of fiasco with the birth tub?
It was something, I think maybe the attachment or the hose wasn't long enough, or there was some detail that he was like, oh, yep, should have. I know you told me what to do and I didn't do it.
Yeah. So we got there around 8 o'clock, and then I have a note in our charting that says at 8:45, we finally started filling the tub. Okay. So I have a feeling that when we arrived, she was ready to get in the tub. And I think it took about 45 yeah. minutes to solve whatever the problem was to get it so that the water was available for her.
We do talk about that stuff prenatally, but you know, it's a lot.
I mean, first home birth.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we did give him a hard time for not reading the instructions.
I'm pretty sure.
But ever since that birth, we've always been really clear with our clients. You have to trial the birth tub. You yeah. have to make sure that all the pieces fit. You don't have to fill the birth tub up, but you need to make sure that it blows up in the space you want, that your hose reaches, that you have an adapter that is going to bring water into your tub.
Yeah. You do not want to be with your wife in labor and with no attachment from your sink to the hose to the tub, yep. right?
Not for your third baby.
No.
For your first baby, we can blow the tub up with our mouths. We can carry water over from the sink.
You can walk down to Home Depot leisurely pace. Yeah.
Okay, so we're filling the tub at 8:45, and then at 8:50, we note that she has an increase in pressure. So she's handling her contractions beautifully. She's really internal, kind of going within. But you can tell things are ramping up while we're there. And we're like, oh, yeah, we're definitely having a baby soon. And then she's sitting on the toilet 45 minutes later. And so she still hasn't gotten in the tub yet.
Okay.
And I can't remember exactly why.
Yeah, I think that she was just like in the zone. I think she was doing so well, but she wanted it for when she was ready.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so then her water breaks while she's sitting on the toilet. I remember that.
Uh-huh. Because I was like, are you going to have a baby on the toilet?
And she said, absolutely not. And then she waddled down the hall and she got in the tub.
Yes, she did waddle.
So she gets in the tub at 9:39 and she starts pushing at 9:45. So 10 minutes after her water break, she's, oh yeah, I'm going with this. Okay. And then here's the interesting part. And this is the part that I always remember about this birth is what happens next. So Kelly and I have different roles at a birth. One person is the primary, one person is the assist, and that we decide that ahead of time, who's going to be in charge. Any of us who have a more particular history or closer relationship or just better connection with a client, we will just say, why don't you do primary, or like, I want to do primary mm-hmm. for this one, and then we'll switch. But otherwise we kind of just take turns back and forth. So Kelly's the primary for this family because she has the most amount of time and history with them, and she she's more connected. It makes more sense that they get to interface with somebody that they're more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So Kelly's providing all the primary care, which means she's sitting the closest, she's evaluating things, and my job is to support all of that effort. So if I notice that anything is needed, I can do it. If Kelly asks me to do something, hand her something, anything like that, I'm assisting Kelly. So I'm sitting off to the side. Kelly's really close to the tub, just telling the mom, oh, you're doing a great job. And I'm charting and I'm making sure that all our emergency equipment is within reach or something, you know, like trying to be very cool because you don't want your weird excitement to come off on people who are just trying to have like their first home birth, right? And so I'm sitting there trying to act cool. Kelly's sitting by the tub and she's pushing and we're like, this is what we would expect. Wonderful. And then a minute after she starts pushing, the head is out.
So quick.
Very quickly. And in the chart, what we noted was the head came out and there was no restitution.
Yeah. So restitution is when it's like incredible to watch. But when the baby's head comes out, they actually start kind of moving themselves over to the side so that they come up. They are planning to come out with their shoulders up and down, basically.
Yeah. Because of the pelvic bones, the way that their head has to come out first, then they need to turn so that the widest diameter of their bodies changes into the part of the pelvis that has the widest mm-hmm. diameter. And babies work with the pressure that is around them and those sensations. And it's called a cardinal movement of labor. Babies do this instinctually. They don't need help turning. They don't need help moving. It's just a part of the process. So the head comes out. Then in the next contraction, that pressure causes the baby to turn and then usually the rest of the body is born. But we didn't have that happening in the way that we would expect at this birth.
And I remember thinking, starting to go through my head of, oh, I haven't done this in a while, but here are the steps that I'm going to need to do should this baby not start turning on their own.
Yeah. So the biggest concern for this particular sign is shoulder dystocia. Babies whose shoulders are stuck on the pelvic bone don't turn. Mm-hmm. They stay stuck, right? And so we want to be calm and cool and expect things to go well. But when you start to see signs that there might be an intervention needed, then you want to provide that intervention as quickly as possible to avoid further complications. But nobody wants to jump in and do anything unless you truly believe that it's necessary.
Yeah. So the baby's head came out and I remember specifically, you know, we're happy to wait, keep hands off, all of the things, but the next contraction comes and she's still feeling the pressure to bear down hard and the baby has not moved whatsoever. Usually the anticipation is that pretty much the rest of the baby is coming out in that next contraction, or at least you're seeing that movement and some movement forward from baby.
Yep. And so we didn't have that reassurance. And of course she's in the tub and it's dark and mm-hmm. Kelly and I are both, the feeling between Kelly and I is, oh man,
yes.
Do we have to do something here? Do we have to handle a complication at our very first birth?
Like, yes.
Trying to talk ourselves into, yeah, we can do that if we need to. This is happening in like a matter of seconds, right?
And a matter of eye contact. I feel like that started our practice actually so beautifully because I knew what you were thinking and I, in that moment, without talking to you about it.
Yeah, because I was like, Kelly, with my eyes, is it a shoulder dystocia?
And so I'm trying to say things of what I'm seeing without using big clinical terms, just almost telling mom what I am seeing for your benefit to hear what, mostly for your benefit, not for hers. And then I forget exactly what I think I just was like, you know what, why don't you sit back or something. I had her change positions.
Yeah, you put her on hands and knees.
Gotcha.
So she went on hands and knees. That changed the compression of, you know, her sacrum because mm-hmm. she was sitting leaning back in the tub. So she gets on hands and knees and her next contraction comes. The baby rotates and comes out and is perfectly fine and normal and everything great. But then I remember later when we were debriefing about this birth, because there was that moment there, right, where we were just looking at each other and in a span of 10 or 15 seconds, all yeah. of this is happening, right? And so I remember thinking, like, how will we communicate in the future if something actually needs to be done? And mm-hmm. we established that at that birth.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to say, I can't remember what it is exactly, right? Is yeah. what we came up with, because it's changed a couple times over the years. But we also learned at that birth that it is okay for you and I to say things to each other and let and to the benefit of those who are there listening and mm-hmm. vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so from that moment on, we warned our clients that we may ask you to do something in those moments, but otherwise we're just going to say out loud what we're noticing and experiencing in order to communicate to the other midwife. And so then you don't have midwives on top of you trying to like mm-hmm. get more information, manage a thing, make it look chaotic or sound chaotic. You can just calmly communicate what you're noticing and what's coming together. And that was huge. Like you said, like that changed a lot about how we felt like we could support one another, support our clients.
Yeah, it was actually like a grace to have just that moment. I'm thankful we didn't have to actually do anything. Certainly we would have if we needed to, but it also was cool to see how you can impact something. You can take something that potentially, if we didn't do anything, if I didn't say, let's have you move positions, that then we're creating more of a complication and actually having to do something when the original intervention is something so simple that feels actually somewhat empowering to the mom too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. And so a couple other little stats here, just because it's good to hear what else happened at the mm-hmm. birth, right? So her placenta came 12 minutes later.
Bless that.
We gave her an estimated blood loss of 150 cc's, which is like basically nothing.
Yeah, that's barely anything.
I think her fourth birth, she bled even less.
Which is just wild.
I know. Some women just do not bleed. And you're like, is it coming later or what? No, yeah. She's just not a bleeder. Mm-hmm. She had a boy who was 7 pounds, 15 ounces. This is her third baby. And she had no laceration. So there was no tearing at her perineum or her vulva that needed to be replaced. And then the other thing that I remember a lot about this birth, because we took a picture of it, is everything was so calm, so cool, so collected. And we really established in that moment also, or at that birth, that we need to give families space to bond without us in their face.
Yeah, and even just being in the room sometimes, just charting in the corner or something, we're like, you know what, let's chart in the living room. Let's like move out. We can still hear, they can still get us if they need us. But once things have like clinically settled down, right, that we can give them the space. And I think that is a joy for families.
I think it's not time for us to leave yet. We still need to hang around and do some things, but we don't need to do all the things. So we usually get all of this like immediate stuff. Everyone settled into bed, baby dry and happy, bleeding completely under control, placenta out, blah, blah, blah. So like an hour after the birth, then it's, oh, okay. Let's just give you a moment here to collect yourself, to be with your baby, to not have us, you know, interfacing with you constantly. And so then Kelly and I will go catch up on charting. We'll clean up the birth space. This particular birth, I remember we made everybody pancakes.
We did. Yeah. Yes. Cause we were like, we want to feed you. And dad too was like, yeah, I'll take some. Great. Which was really sweet to like just enjoy time together in the kitchen. We were just like whipping them up and having a great time.
Yeah. And we were just so thankful. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it was so sweet to have had that first birth together, to know that it had all gone smoothly, to see this family like really embrace the home birth piece of it, like really able to enjoy being in their private space and in their own home and with their family and just welcoming their baby into their actual home. It was just super cool. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we go back in, you know, 45 minutes later and we're like, okay, let's do your newborn exam. Let's assess you for, you know, tears. Let's see how your bleeding is doing. Let's give you postpartum instructions, etc. And then we can wrap up our time there. But having that little pause in the middle of postpartum, I think is just nice.
Yes, absolutely.
For everybody.
Absolutely agreed.
So I decided like a part of this process, I wanted to also, you know, talk about some of the lessons we learned, but we kind of already unpacked some of those mm-hmm. while we were talking. Yeah. But it was, I think, one of the things that made the biggest impact for me at this particular birth was that we got to see our vision for the type of care that we wanted to give come to fruition. So it's one thing when you're a student and be like, I'm not doing that the way my preceptor does, or I don't want to do that, blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, what if we provided such and such to our clients? And so you have all these ideas, but then to actually get them out into the world and in practice and see them well received, that to me was a huge highlight.
Yeah, honestly, it impacted me tremendously because it was one of the first opportunities that I had to go to a birth and not do a vaginal exam on somebody. The only other births that I had been to at that point where that wasn't a thing were births that were just going very quickly, where there was really no time to do that. And so it just felt so good. That never really sat well with me as a student. And I'm thankful for opportunity and learning and all of that stuff. But it was so sweet to be able to be like, she doesn't want that. I don't need to give that because I can trust this. And the placenta birth was probably the thing that I take with me the most because I always wanted to and never felt free to allow a placenta to come on its own without even the gentlest kind of traction on the cord. And so that was important to me and I felt like important to us. We spoke about that and intervening when we need to, certainly, but it felt really freeing. I felt like I grew up or something. There was just a new portion of me that kind of woke up, I feel like, at that birth.
We both got to agree that being more hands-off in some of those areas was better for everybody, mm-hmm, versus what we had grown up in midwifery to believe and think and practice. And that's just big. It's really big because it informed everything about our practice after that. We were like, yeah, this works. Birth works when you're not all up in everybody's business trying to smash body parts around, et cetera.
Et cetera.
Et cetera.
Yeah, I guess I don't really, I mean, I remember that feeling. And I haven't really thought on that, you know, since around that time. So this is for my benefit tonight.
Maybe our entire podcast has just turned into us processing births we have been at. I could do every episode like this.
100%.
So anyway, that was a really fun one for us to share with you guys because it was the very beginning of our practice. Obviously, so many things that we took away from that and we're still living in, you know, the grace and the gifts that that birth brought to us. And that was it. It was the beginning.
I am so thankful that we decided to share this.
I know. So really sharing these stories is important because they're real. They are normal. This is a normal experience. This is birth, not just if you get lucky or if, you know, you do a bunch of stuff in order to like make this happen. This is how birth happens when people leave it alone and you just have someone there to support what is already happening and already unfolding. And so I hope that this portrays what's possible in birth. And we get to see these experiences constantly. And most of you guys don't get an inside look at how wonderful home birth can be. And so it's just fun to be able to share that with you now. So you guys know we announced last week, we are currently taking students for our brand new birth course.
That's so exciting.
It's just like really exciting.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's so, so cool. All of the information that we share is from the perspective of a lot of what you heard us speak on in this episode. It is our heart for birth to teach more women about how it can be beautiful. And this beta test group is open until March 17th, and it's only $149 for an entire childbirth education course. And it covers prenatal education. We cover all four trimesters. So that's three trimesters in pregnancy and the fourth trimester in postpartum. We talk all about birth prep information from the perspective of supporting physiology. And this would be a good fit for you if you have a due date in July of this year or after, and you're looking for the most natural form of birth preparation out there.
You would, I mean, honestly, for $149, I don't know where you're finding a birth class otherwise.
I did see one online.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's so good that they're providing that for such an affordable price. But everything that was listed on the topics of what they were going to talk about, you can read in a book.
Right. This, what is rad about what we are creating is when you look around, I'm like, oh, this isn't out there. There is really nothing like this.
Yep. So we've got a ton of details in the link in our show notes, or you can just go to beautifulonemidwifery.com. We got a bunch of information up there for you too. If you're listening to this and you already missed this beta group, there's a wait list for the official class that's going to go live sometime this summer. And so you can hit up that same link to learn more about what will be offered at that time. But we're just excited to finally be putting something like this together.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been asked and we have responded. So this was great. Thanks for putting that one together. Walk down memory lane, and we will catch you next week, ladies.
Bye.